2023 at the Christian Assembly, Ohatchee. I would like to invite you to our annual memorial meetings, May 26th and 27th at 7, and also the 28th at 10. I think that's it. Come on, Sister Rebecca. God bless you all.
Amen. I feel like I've been up here in a while, but Satan always fighting me. He'll fight me before I do something and after I do it, so I figured, well, I might as well just do it and just deal with it. But I just want to give a quick testimony. It happened a while ago, and sometimes I don't feel worthy to get up here. Sometimes I feel rough. You know, like when you've been out in the world for so long, the devil just make you feel rough, like you got this edge on you sometimes, like you just rough, you know? And so I'm just trying to overcome all that and just let God have his will in my life and make sure it's about him and not about me. This testimony, a brother told it, but it goes along with my testimony. It was a brother that he was getting ready to lose his house, and the banks were going to take it. And so he had to meet up with his lawyer. The next day, he had to meet with his lawyer, but that next day also was the same day church service was going on. So he called his preacher and was like, look, they're getting ready to take my house, and I have to meet with this lawyer today, you know, so I'm not going to be able to come to church. So the preacher said, well, come on to church anyway, you know, put God first. God will take care of all that. So the brother was in like a, you know, bind, like, brother, I got to meet with this lawyer. I'm about to lose my house. So anyway, the preacher persuaded him, just come to church. It's a true story. Just come to church, brother. God will take care of the rest. So the brother went ahead and came to church. Well, the next day, the bank called him, and he found out they paid off the house. Nobody understood how it happened, why it went that way, but the bank ended up taking care of his whole house payment. So thank the Lord for that. And it goes with my testimony, which is I had a toothache probably a couple weeks back when we had the guest speaker. I had a toothache. I mean, I was trying to sleep on the top of my head just to get rid of this toothache. So I made it my mission to go to the dentist the next day, and they did a exam and everything. My gums were so swollen that it was like the size of a walnut. It was so swollen I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. It was throbbing in my head, under my neck, back. Everything was just out of whack for me. So they looked at it and was like, wow, you know, we got to get this done. So come in the next day, which was Saturday, and they told me, come in, they'll take care of it, take it out. So that next day happened to be when we had the guest speaker that Saturday. So I was like, well, yeah. So I came in, I went to the dentist, and they said, we can take it out. Just come back at 2 o'clock, and we'll take care of it for you. Okay? That was the same time my brother Gary was in town. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, this makes sense. I got to get this taken care of. I can't bear it, you know? And I'm sitting in the car, like, well, okay, my appointment at 3. I'll just ask Gary and John to, you know, take my mom to church with them, because my mom was staying in my house at the time. I said, Gary can pick her up. She can go to church with them. I'll just take care of my tooth. Well, a little small voice was like, well, you remember that preacher that went to church and God took care of the rest? So I said, well, maybe I just, yeah, I'm going to go that route. God can take care of this toothache. You know, just a little bit of faith, but I'm like, God can take care of this. So I came to church. I decided to come to church and just bear with what they are. I was still in pain, but I said, I'm going to just go to church, and I believe God can take care of this toothache because I don't want to miss it. So I came to church. I got prayed for. I came over here and got prayed for. I asked Brother Wade for a prayer cloth, and I set it right on the tooth that was killing me, pretty much. And I sat in the back still in pain and everything, but I was like, God going to take care of it somehow. I went downstairs, and me and the sisters were fellowshipping and stuff. I felt that swelling going down while we were talking. Little by little, I felt that thing going down. Whatever was inside of it, I felt it coming out. It was coming out. It was going down. I was like, oh, my God, it's happening. I even had to tell some of the sisters, excuse me, but let me give you all this testimony that just happened. So I just want to share that. It was it happened a couple weeks ago, but it was on my heart, and I was, you know, debating if I wanted to come up. But God is good. And put it first.
Wonderful. Wonderful testimony, Sister Rebecca. I think that's a perfect example of what Brother Branham said. If you don't have faith for a toothache, faith puts you in action, you see? That she put that prayer cloth on her, and she just believed, she said, I'm going to church. I'm going to listen to the service. And his faith took care of the rest. I think that's a good example of that. So we just thank God for healing that toothache. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just sing happy birthday, Brother Dale. Happy birthday to you.
We appreciate the Lord giving you another year of life, and also to the ones that were mentioned, Sister June also. We publicly wish you a happy birthday this month as well, since I didn't do it on WhatsApp. So, oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday. Oh, happy birthday. And the best year you've ever had. Praise the Lord Jesus. We wish the Lord give you more, many more birthdays, Brother Dale. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just sing I'll Fly Away, key of F, and then we're going to prepare for a special. The Old Faithful, I'll Fly Away. Amen.
Oh, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Celestial shore, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning. I can't die, I'll be raptured by and by. Shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning. I won't die, 'cause I'll be raptured by and by. I'll fly away, and it's just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end.
Afternoon.
Oh, once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison.
us to see for glory to God. He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. For He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. So goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God I'm going through. For He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free. For He set me free, yeah, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free.
Give the Lord a clap of praise if you're free this afternoon. Hallelujah.
Will I remember when I danced at the altar? I didn't care if it cost me a friend or two. And I remember getting baptized in cold water, but rising with a fire in my soul. Same power now and forever. No, you're not through. Same words can speak to the mountains and make them move. God of the new, I know that you did it then and that you still do.
Do you remember the roar of a choir as they praised Him for hours and He filled the cancer, and we didn't have the answer, but
where there's three or two. Same power, now and forever. No, you're not through. Same words can speak to the mountains and make them move. I know the God of the old is the God of the new. I know that you did it then and that you still do. You're still mighty and strong, faithful and true. You'll make a way, that's just what you do. You're the breaker of chains, beginning and end. I've seen it. Forever, no, you're not through. Same words can speak to the mountains and make them move. I know the God of the old is the God of the new. I know that you did it then and then you. Forever, no, you're not through. Same words can speak to the mountains and make them move. I know the God of the old is the God of the new. I know that you did it then and then you.
Good job. Wonderful. Amen. Appreciate these young children. Appreciate Nyla and Michael. Brother Ryan, you did a wonderful job. Amen. That was good. Give the Lord another clap of praise for that. Amen. We don't give them praise. We give the Lord praise through them. Amen. For them. Amen. Praise God. Just that was wonderful. That was a wonderful song. The God of the old, amen, is the God of the new. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thomas, you want to help us take up our offering? Amen. And we'll just sing Highway to Heaven, Sister Esther.
Dear Lord, please bless Danny. Please bless Brother Dale, Mother Wade, and all the deacons. Please bless Brother Dale with his birthday today. Lord, please bless the church workers and everything else. Please bless the tithes offerings in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just sing Highway to Heaven. Let's stand to our feet with this. We're going to have Brother Wade come.
Walking up the King's mountain. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway. King's highway. Sing that again. Oh, it's the highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven. Walking up the King's highway. If you're not walking, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. There is joy in knowing with him I am going. Walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to King's highway. My way gets brighter. My way gets brighter. My load gets lighter. Walking up. up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, His love to guide me, walking up the King's highway.
Walking up the King's highway. My load gets what? Lighter? If you'll let it. If you'll give it to Him. Give Him. He said, cast your cares on Him. Sometimes we don't do that. We need to cast all of our cares on Him because what? He cares for you. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here with us. Remember, Brother Aaron is in Lincolnton. Brother Bob will be speaking for us Wednesday night. After the service today, second service, we'll be having cake and ice cream and whatever you need to do down downstairs. And, for Brother Dale, it'll be 83 today. Y'all know the story behind that because it's today. Some of you that are new don't know the story. Our grandma, which is Dad's mother, told him for years he was born on the night of April the 15th. So we celebrated April the 15th. Well, if y'all want to tell it, come up here, because I'm fixing to tell it right. It's the 16th now. We celebrated the 15th years ago. Can I tell it? Okay. So what Grandma didn't realize is he was born at 1 a.m. on the 16th. So am I right now? Good grief. Thank you, Terrence. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's always the women. It's always the women. Always. So anyway, we celebrate on the 15th because it was tax day. So all for 50-something years, and then Daddy had to go and get Daddy had to go and get his birth certificate because he was retiring. So that was 1991, and when he come back with the birth certificate, he handed it to somebody. He handed it to him, and it says 1 a.m. He was born on the 16th. Granny was knocked out, I'm sure. She didn't care whether it was 12 a.m. or 1 a.m., but she said the night of the 15th, so that's what we celebrated for all those years, and now it's right. It's on the 16th, so today is his birthday. Anything else? Where am I? Oh, Brother Willie Smiley will be here with us, not this coming weekend, but the next, April the 30th. May the 13th, we'll have a prayer meeting at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6, a Bible study from 6 to 8. That'll be a special one because we don't have one every other month, but we had so many questions, and there was another one came up, so we need to cover it too, about infants and going to heaven and all that. So we'll cover that also on May the 13th, all right? 14th is Mother's Day. I think we'll just have one service because some of y'all won't even be here anyway. So we'll have one service on Mother's Day weekend. Go visit your mother. If she's not here, if she's gone on, the Lord bless you. But if you got a mother here that's living, you need to give her a big hug and on that day. So we might do something for eating wise. We'll see. But we'll only have one service on Mother's Day, the 14th. Then May the 20th is a youth service with Brother Bullivan. Be here at 3 o'clock on that Saturday. And we'll definitely have something to eat then. And then we'll have only one service on the Sunday. Brother William will be with us also. Vow renewal. We're going to shoot for May the 7th. Do it the second service. No, we'll do it first service. If we do it second service, a lot of people won't be here. So, anything else? I think that covers it all. But just keep that in your prayers. All these special things coming up. We've got a lot of things we're doing, and we sure appreciate everybody here. We appreciate our song leaders. Brother Boyd, Brother Joe, all you that fill in, Brother Michael, Brother Aaron, different ones, we sure appreciate it. Brother Dale used to preach and lead singing years ago. Now we got so many song leaders that, you know, don't know what to do with them. So we sure appreciate them because they set the tone. They're the ones that set the tone for the service. And I like us praying and before service and just get the atmosphere started and get the anointing going in the right direction. So we appreciate each and every one of you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this afternoon that we've come. We come to worship you. You said to do it in spirit and in truth. So Father, we pray that our brother has sung the songs and did all the preliminary things that we need to do, Lord. Now I pray, as the prophet says, he's switching into a different anointing to preach so that the people can hear what you've got to say to them, not me. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears. And for those that don't have a heart that's full of you, I pray, Lord, that you'd save their soul. Lord, we still are in the business of getting people saved. We know that this statue of a perfect man is more for the mature, as we say, adult Christians, not in age, but in stature. Lord, don't forget the ones that are struggling and trying down at faith. Lord, just reach and grab them, Lord, and hug them up. And Lord, may they do as Jacob did of old, just wrestle with you all night. And get it all fought out. And Lord, Jacob walked different when you left him. But he looked and saw a ladder and saw angels ascending and descending up into heaven and coming back. Lord, I pray that that's what we'll see in this statue of a perfect man. Lord, we see the angels ascending and descending back and forth. But you came on the scene. Jacob didn't wrestle with an angel. He wrestled with you. And Lord, you touched him. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd touch us today. Touch us all in a special way that maybe you've never touched us before. That we'll be more like you, Lord. That we'll be more patient. And we'll be more temperate with the people. And Lord, have strength to give that virtue out. And Lord, the knowledge, not the kind that puffeth up, but the knowledge that we know, as the prophet of God said, we read it, we know that little nod. That when it comes to a place, we know what's going on. We know that you're on the scene, Father. We pray now, be with the ones that are sick, that are not here, Lord, the ones that are listening in. I pray that you'd be with each one. Be with Brother Dale, Lord, now is his birthday. We pray that you'd just give him many more. And forgive us of our sins and bless us, Lord. Take care of us with the furtherment of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, part 102. So in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're going to get to godliness and maybe get into brotherly kindness a little bit. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. All right. As we were talking this morning, you don't know anything about grace until you get born again. You just don't. You can't. Because you're standing born again, and your sins are being chopped off. Your sins are being done away with. And under the grace of God, we are, as we were talking this morning, as we'll speak a little bit more about how God's washed us up. God's took us and took the wrinkles out. He's took the spots out. He's took the sin out. He's took the part of humanity that we struggle with. And He's took all that out. All right? And what did He do? He put Him inside. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now we continue on. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. We're going to spend a little while on brotherly kindness because I got a few avenues I want to go there. And to brotherly kindness, charity. We're almost up to the capstone. Then we can start in the seals and the different things. We talk about the Son of Man, which we started 100 and something services ago. So 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You may be seated, Lord, as blessing for the reading of this word. Now we know that word, we look without controversy or without strife or without dispute or without a quarrel. There's nothing that you can say that's going to change the word of God. So guess what we have to do? We have to change ourselves to the Word of God, not away from it. All right? I have my own thoughts. You have your own thoughts. But those thoughts have got to do, as we were talking about, knowledge. That knowledge is not worldly knowledge. That knowledge is not, as Chris was talking this weekend about the Hubble telescope and that other one that's named after that other guy that can see a million miles. That's okay. That's man's natural knowledge. And they're getting into artificial intelligence and all these different things where a computer supposedly thinks for us. Well, praise God, I need it every once in a while. But you can be talking about buying a Chevrolet car, and what pops up about 5 minutes later on your phone, there's an ad for some Chevrolet place. Now, that's kind of weird. And then I know the computer guys, you got algorithms and all these different things that if you continue to go down this road with something, you get inundated with all these ads and pop-ups and all these things. Well, that's artificial intelligence. But what about the intelligence of God that takes us past that million miles? Listen, if you're born again today, a million miles means nothing to you. A million miles is just like that because you've traveled like a thought, 100 and something thousand miles a second. Then guess what? Million miles is just like going from here to Commerce. All right? So we see it that way. And that's, to me, that's the knowledge. But look at this right here. So foreknowledge. We talk about the foreknowledge of God. And I really want you, we may cover predestination again a little bit later on. But Brother Dale's covered it 100 times, and we ought to be pretty settled in it, that those he foreknew. So foreknowledge is first. If you put foreknowledge first, don't get me wrong. But forget about predestination, because predestination is, like Brother Bram said, it's a bad word to use in an untrained crowd, because predestination does mean predetermined destiny. All right? And that is a tube, and that's not where he pulls you through, though, and you don't have a choice. That's because he saw, Brother George, what you would do, therefore he could predetermine this whole world. To me, that's so simple. Not that he predestined first, and then he used his foreknowledge. No, he used his foreknowledge first, because it's called foreknowledge. All right. So to me, that's just as simple as it can be. And then we have to keep it separated, though, when we talk about the genes of God and the gene seed of God and all these different things that people are talking about in the message. And realize one thing's for sure: when the prophet of God makes a statement, he's in the mind of God. And then he's over here talking to sinners. So there's two different things, as we were talking about this morning. He's not saying two different things. Now, Brother Bram is not that confused. Same way we're talking about with Daniel 70 weeks. They say, well, I've got these quotes and we've got these quotes, and they just fight each other. This message don't fight each other. The message is right. You just don't understand, and I don't understand what's going on until the Lord, what? Gives us Holy Ghost knowledge. And you know what? By foreknowledge, God knew that this group of people, now I'm going to say it, this group of people inside this building today, by foreknowledge, God knew you would want good teaching, correct teaching, and not another ministry. Or you would be somewhere else. I mean, really, you'd be, a lot of people are built, though. They need somebody that's, you know, up and down the aisles and running back and forth and screaming and hollering and just, you know, preaching God sent a prophet and you know, be a good Christian and love each other, and that's okay. But what about this? What about more? Add to. I want the add to part, and that's kind of what we're all, well, you know, we're born underneath that, and you know, sometimes we as ministers, we do. We like people to be emotional and not be, you know, sitting back with their finger stuck in their anyway, nose or wherever more, but and not be sleepy and try to be attentive. But we know the old man said one time, he said, the mind can only endure what the backside can. So, yeah. The mind can only comprehend what the backside can endure. So we know that we have to endure. But listen, you have to fight. Fight, be brave against all evil. What? Fight. Fight it. Don't bring your pillow and your blanket and your cold drink and, oh, anyway. Get all cozy and warm and make you a nest. Fight it. We all fight it. We all do. We all fight it. But you know what? That's the overcoming part. He that overcometh will I give these things. Not he that sleepeth. He that overcometh that thing. All right, so Christ's mystery God revealed. We're talking about foreknowledge. We got that out of the way. So back part in the back part of God's mind. He saw, though, there was something he was going to achieve. Now, who's he going to achieve it through? He's going to achieve it through people. So he saw by foreknowledge someone that would come together under this word of God and live it like God said it. Not like man said it, not like this over here said it, but like God said it. So he was going and trying to achieve. Now, why would he even make a plan if he didn't see the end result of it? So you and I make a plan. We want to build a house. We want to do this and that and the other. And sometimes we change 1,000 times. But God can't put a plan together and it fail. He can't put a plan together and it not work. You know why? Because he foreknew. Do you know if we knew today everything we were going to do tomorrow, it'd be a lot easier. Do you remember? You understand that? It'd be a lot easier because we've got so many. We don't know if the car's going to start tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to get fired from our job tomorrow. We don't know if the government's going to take over tomorrow. According to Tony, it is. So, yeah, Mark, too. Sorry, Brother Mark. But anyway, government ain't got nothing to do with it. There's one government that does, and that's the government of God. He does have a government because the Bible said the government was on his shoulders. All right. So wherever the government is, it's on God's shoulders, and I'm not worried about it. But you know, you do. But we do worry, though. We worry because tomorrow's news is going to be there's another killing, or there's another this, or another that. There's always that question mark. But what if you knew everything was going to happen from today till the day of the rapture? It'd make things a lot easier, or hard if you were on the bad side. But it would make it easier, and that's the way God is. He's not nervous. So what am I dependent on? I'm not dependent on me knowing what's tomorrow. I'm dependent on the guy that knows and holds tomorrow. All right, that's who I'm depending on, and I want to get to know him better. If you get to know him better, then you get more intimate with that person, and you get to know that person a little bit more. So that's why this whole thing is about intimacy. The marriage happened right here. When you got born again, you got married. Now, mom and dad's been married 65 years. Did they ever stop not knowing it? Yeah. They know each other really well, but tomorrow there'll be something else that come up, right? Because we're humans. But you get to know each other. That's why I want us to get to know God. Because look, if Brother Brown said God's got a secret mystery, it's got to be revealed to us because the Bible tells us that in the days of the seventh angel, all these mysteries all this mystery, not mystery, is mystery, would be revealed. And that's what we're going to get into when we get into the statue, into the headstone, is the revealing of all mysteries. We know now, even today, we're picking a mystery at a time, and we're looking at like the mystery of water baptism, the mystery of predestination, the mystery of all these different mysteries. Now it's so common, we've got it in the building. You know, we're building a new couple of restrooms there at the city of Gillsville. And, you know, we don't know how it's going to go because, well, we got the plans all done. But, you know, I can see the foundation as they laid the blocks. All right? Now, hopefully, 90 days from now, I'm not going to worry about that foundation because it's already built. It's already done. I'm not going to go out there and make sure they put the foundation. No, the building is built. It's built on something. So if we have our foundation, there's no reason to go back. As the Bible says, don't go back and try to rebuild that foundation. That's what I was saying this morning. Listen, if you get in trouble, we all get in trouble. If you get in trouble, don't say, well, I must be lost. I want to get baptized again. I want to receive the Holy Ghost. I want to be sanctified. Somewhere you're going to have to say, this is it. You can only get wet so many times. All right? But if you'll settle down and say, just look, God, forgive me of what I've done, and I'm going on. Problem is we get bogged down and we go the other way. We need to just give God the glory and say, God, I'm messed up, and keep going that way. That's all of us. Keep going forward. Never go backwards. There's nothing backwards in God. So he was going to achieve it. How was he going to achieve it? Through me and you. And he was going to let himself be expressed. How's he going to be expressed? Through us. Right. The 1 Corinthians says, so that you be come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Look, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord. I want us to make sure we understand that. I got all these quotes about that. The whole Bible's full of them. How he's going to make you spotless. He's going to make you without wrinkle. He's going to make you sons of God. Philippians 2. You may be blameless. Now, what is blameless? You stole today. You robbed a bank at 12 o'clock. Did he? No, because I saw you. You were here. So now you are blameless. No one can bring. Now, somebody can bring an accusation. But there's so many, a great cloud of witnesses that were here, okay, that saw Michael downstairs at 12 o'clock. So that cloud of witness has made him blameless and harmless. There's no way that they can judge him for robbing the bank. He was here. That's what God is doing for me and you. He's taking our sins away, making us blameless and harmless. Listen, and we have that. We have that balance. We say, well, Brother Brown said we sin every day. Now you're telling us that we're sinless and blameless. The balance of is how to handle that in between. Right. We're going to sin. Okay? We're going to have sins. Only Christians have sins. Okay? We're going to sin. But if we know how to handle it, it never gets to God and it makes us blameless. Blameless. Everybody with me? We know how. The world doesn't know how. Listen, the world doesn't even know how to say, I'm sorry. You know what it is? It's somebody else's fault. It's the government's fault. So anyway, no, it's your fault, my fault. If we don't make it, don't blame me. Don't blame Brother Dale. Blame yourself. Well, don't get quiet on me now. But I'm looking at a group of people that can be blameless and harmless, sons of God. Look, without rebuke. If you do what God said, how's he going to rebuke you? How are you going to be rebuked? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Well, we know we're that. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. How we shine? Because we have a statue of a perfect man that God is now living. We see, I was talking to somebody the other day, the Methodist Church is just in a turmoil, for those of you that know that. They're suing everybody. They're all suing each other. Churches are suing churches. Yeah, because one, you know, they said you can have a gay woman preacher. And the other's like, ain't having that. So they're splitting because of that. And they're just pointing fingers at each other. Now, that's what a denomination has come down to in this end time. Is that they're fighting over something that should be really obvious. And I like what our neighbor said, Jay Ferguson. I talked to him the other day. He said, I'm just going to build my own church. That's where I'm going. So. But you see what, we've come to? You and I are coming. We're here and we're solidified. We've got a foundation. We know where the Word of God is. We know where God is. We know what He's doing and where He's at. And then the world don't have a clue. Well, is he over here? Because there's a group of people that's going to let that woman stand in front of them. They had a picture of one woman the other day at a Methodist church. Had on a black robe with a white thing. You know, the little, whatever you call it, the rope or whatever you see right here. And it's rainbow colors all the way down. Hair about that long. No. We have the right interpretation. We have the right message. And God's going to vindicate it through us, not them. But we've got to get into what? We've got to get in a condition that God can use us. Amen? But by having all these virtues working in our life, that's how God can do it. We can have patience. A man who's not swerve. You've seen people, and so have I. We'll just talk about this a little bit, and then if we don't go too far, we'll go eat some cake and ice cream. But you see people that are, and not just message people, I'm talking about out in the world. You see people that have no patience. You look at them. When they have no patience, their world is just one big bomb. They have no patience for this, no patience for that, no patience for the guy that cuts them off in the road and they give them that one finger wave. There's no patience. There's nothing to steer them in the right direction. You and me, if they cut you off in the middle of traffic, so what? Right. What are you worried about? You say, well, that's just kind of... No, it's getting bad. It's getting where people are shooting each other. Because you pull in front of them, they're going to shoot you. Road rage has killed a bunch of people. Several in Atlanta not too many weeks from now, you know, back. But now you and I are not part of that. There comes a time when we've got to separate ourselves when we get in a car, a real car, when we get in a car that we're not inundated with all the junk and the filth and all that stuff that's going on, right? And we don't have ill feelings toward people. We don't have ill feelings toward the guy in front of you or the guy behind you. Well, get quiet if you want to, but I'm talking to every one of us now. But we have a deliberate purpose. That's why we can be patient. We don't have to scream and holler at somebody when they cut us off or when somebody does us wrong. We're going to get in brotherly kindness and it's going to hurt us all. But then you see somebody, even a worldly person, that's just as patient. He's meticulous. He don't jump into everything all the time. And he's really successful because he doesn't dive in, as Brother Brown says. People that go out past God's plan and they become a wreck. But then you do see people that become wrecks all the time. Just even in the natural world. But what about the spiritual world? What about us? What about us today? Are we waiting on God? Are we not waiting on God? I was thinking the other day, I watched a cartoon way long time ago, and it was two pheasants. And there was two pheasants, and you know, in the old black and white days, you heard the hunters coming, you heard the shooting, you know. Well, these two pheasants are side by side, hunkered down in a cornfield. Corn's about that high, hunkered down in a cornfield. And one of them looks at the other one and says, don't move. We got this. Don't move. They'll walk by us. Don't move. And the other one's like this. I don't know if I can wait. He's real close. I don't know if I can wait. Well, you see a boot come into picture. So they're that close to him. And the other one says, just wait. Stay right here. Just wait. Stay. You don't worry about him. And the other one says, I can't wait. He's too close. I got to go. And then you see him, you know, you see him fly off out of the picture. And you hear, boom, boom. And that other one, you know, down here is like, I told him. That's the same way with us. Listen to somebody. Be patient. Let God do his work. Be patient. The devil's wanting to shoot every one of us. But be patient. Be patient where you're at the moment. But don't stay there. But be patient. Be like that pheasant. Be patient. And tell others, be patient. And don't make a choice and go flying off because you get shot. But that's the way it is in the world. You know that it is. You say, hang on, hold on. Nope, got to go, got to go. You're out of here. Unless we suffer, we can't reign with him. I love this quote. It just keeps coming up. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. Does everybody understand that statement? It's a victory. When you have character, it is a victory. It is a battle that you have won and overcome, not a gift that says, here's your patience, my buddy. Just use it all any way you want to. No. You have to fight for that patience. You have to fight for that virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic, but power with character. That's what God's looking for. See, we're coming into the stage of adoption. I was listening to somebody the other day, and they just roll adoption into your new birth. Well, now, Brother Branham says, and I'll read you a quote where Brother Branham says, and I agree with it. I don't have to have it. Well, I won't say that. I get bad in shape. I don't need Brother Branham to quote tell me that your new birth is different from your adoption. I can read it in my Bible, and I can see it in myself that the new birth is totally different from, you got to have the new birth. You got to have faith, but it doesn't automatically make you adopted. It doesn't automatically make you a manifested son and daughter of God. You got to grow into that. You got to have a what? A tutor and a governor, according to the book of Galatians. You got to have a schoolmaster, somebody to what? Teach you, bring you to Christ. Teach you how to stay hunkered down in the cornfield when the hunters start coming. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne, if he's required it, folks, he's got to make a way. So here's the way. All right, here's the way. It's the Bible, prophet's message. That's the way. That's the way we make it. We're not going to make it with James Dobson. We're not going to make it. Now, he's a nice guy, good fella, but he's not somebody that I want to listen to all the time. The little temporary sufferings we go through is not worthy to be compared with the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. And oh, what treasures. Let's continue on. Let's skip through some of this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He's long-suffering. Thank God he is long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. Now, Brother Bram also said, look, faith alone won't do it. We've read that a million times, but listen, I want you to understand something. You go read, and I'll try to find it, where Paul says you can have all that and not have charity, not have the new birth. Sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you really have nothing to say. All right? Now, he made ready and had faith in the promise. This is Abraham, father of our faith. We can still have faith in the promise and not obey it. It'll still hinder us. As I was saying this morning, you only really believe what you obey. Think about that. You really only believe what you obey. If you don't believe coming to church is important, you won't. So you're not going to obey it because you don't believe it. All right? And put other things, everything else in there. Then Brother Bram's talking about have patience with who? Patience with God. If you got real, genuine faith, you'll have genuine patience because faith worketh patience. All right, we'll continue on here a little bit. Skip through some of this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. We should have patience with one another. When we get to brotherly kindness, I'm going to tie those two together to have patience. Because Brother Bram talks about having patience with your brother if he's off the word or different things. I want us to understand that being off the word's not horrible. If you hear the right word and then come to it. We've all done that. Everyone. Brother Dale preached one time. I mean, he was preaching away and something came to me. I'm like, man, I ain't never seen it like that before. Well, I was ignorant back over here. But when I come to, the light or the knowledge of the truth, there was something inside of me that took me to that, not away from it. All right? It brings me to that, and that's what the schoolmaster does, even on up front. He brings you to Christ, tells you where he's at, what he's doing, and what he's saying to you, not your neighbor, not your wife, you. What he's saying to you. We should have patience with one another. He said it's hard to do. I've tried to have patience. 33 years. Women still bob their hair. Still just the same. But just have patience. Brother Brown did. Have to. If you ain't got it, don't try to build it. Then Hebrews tells about laying every weight aside. Run with patience the race that's set before us. Enduring the cross. He endured the cross. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. What's the scripture? He that starts a good work in me, in other words, he's going to finish it. All right? If you let him start that good word inside of you or that work. All right? Endureth means to remain, abide, not recede or flee. In other words, first little problem that we have, we disappear. First little problem we have, and you quit going to church. And then you start making excuses. Well, stay here. Stay under the fountain. Stay here long enough until God works on you, not us. Till God works on you. All right? And we got those who endure to the end shall be saved. All right, let's go to godliness. Just for a minute. There's a few more I want to read here. It's reverence and respect. This is where we kind of got this more. Piety towards God or godliness. And then he requires that we have this. But he also shows us a form of godliness, and that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon, and we'll get to it here in just a minute. Let's continue through here. Fifthly, add godliness. Oh my, godliness to be added. What does godliness mean? He talks about to be like God. After you got faith and all those things, then be like God. Oh yes, you can. They said, nope, can't do that, Brother Brown. Yes, you can. All the virtue, all the things that's in God is in you. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, guess what? Then you're not going to obey it. If you don't believe it, you're not going to obey it. I'm going to keep that. That's my new favorite phrase. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. If he said it, he had to make a way for us to do it. Now, he even said that 2,000 years ago, listen to me, with a group of people that wasn't even born again yet. Amen? They were just justified and sanctified. They had not been born again. They had not went to the upper room. You get way up here now before you're asked to do this, though. All these things has to be added first. Then when you get up here, he's asked you now to be perfect. Godliness, sons and daughters of God. That's right. How many things could I say on that line? He continues on. I'm going to just keep skipping through this so we'll not be so long today. Some of you already checked out, so we'll see if we can hurry up. A man that's born again, a son of God, has to have the nature of God. He has to be like God. He honors God. He's part of the Word of God. In other words, he does what the Word says. That's just pretty simple. He does what the Word says. And listen, we don't all do what the Word says all the time. Okay? Sorry about that. He's part of the Word of God, and then this last day of this bride taking form, exactly the same power that he was at the beginning has come up through these organizations. See, he didn't do away with organizations. God moved through those organizations. And then what? Come out for the bride, which is us. He can't do nothing but that. See, those denominations had to come. God had to move through the Baptists to see that we do believe in eternal security if it's taught the right way. We do believe in predestination if it's taught the right way. Not like Calvinism or Arminianism. It bring it back together, and that's the way it is. All right? We don't believe in a Trinity because we know it different, but they taught the Trinity all the way through. Even three of the church age messengers were Trinitarians. Columba, Luther, and Wesley, they were Trinitarian. But God winked at their ignorance, and we look back and quote Wesley, and we look back and quote Luther. All right? But that's okay to quote them and then move forward. Move forward into God and not move backwards. I think, you know what I do? We'll just all be Lutherans now from now on. Everybody be Lutherans, okay? And you can talk to each other at the beer store then. Some of y'all get that. But you, that's what I mean. The Lutherans, you what? Their founder smoked a pipe and drank beer. Right? But he was a church age messenger. We know better. See, when I said that, you're like, no, we don't do that. Right? Well, we don't do that. No, we don't do that. Why? Because God's moved up. Listen, folks, I'm telling you. You and I are astronauts. We are able to take this pressure. If you're not able to take this pressure, you're not one of his. Because you have been put in this age to take the pressure. Listen, the bride has been put in this age not to fail. So he gave us, amen, he gave us the pressurized suit. He gave us the intelligence of God, not the intelligence of man, that we can get into a spaceship. And we can go out as far as a million miles or whatever more. We can see. You think the mind of God's just a million miles away? The mind of God's eternal. And Brother Branham said, let's go back into his mind. We just went right back into millions and billions of miles. Just like that. First Timothy said, for kings, he's talking about prayers and intercessions, giving thanks, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now that one we have to work on, all right? All of us are sometimes, especially when you got kids, and you got kids running around, and it don't seem like it's quiet and orderly, but that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about you not getting upset and throwing things at them when that does happen. Somebody says, well, I can't be throwing stuff now. Let's read this right here. I told you in Timothy, he says a lot about, Paul says a lot about being godly. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Some of y'all ought to try that. Without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But, now watch, in parentheses, take that parentheses away, and Paul is just saying, but with good works. Right? But he's interpolating, or he's making, he's bringing his thought process out that says, which becometh women professing godliness. Do you know if you walk down the street and you look godly and you look like if you look like the fashion of the world and all that, you know there's no godliness there. I mean, man, you see some of these people going to church, and I was looking, a friend of ours has had a daughter went to a junior senior or whatever. Is it junior senior time? I guess it is. Prom night. Lord, there wasn't enough material in that girl's dress for nothing. And the guy she was with had his hand right where he shouldn't have his hand. They're just going to a party. That's what the world's producing now. Sisters, little kids, don't let somebody touch you like that. And don't put on something that'll provoke that. We want to become women professing godliness with good works. You see, Paul comes out and he's really telling the women to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And he keeps talking and he keeps telling the women, you know, you're not supposed to speak in church and you're supposed to be, silent and all those things. But look what he says in verse 10. He says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So he's putting them on a pedestal. As Brother Branham, you know, the brother asked me one time, he said, he's not in the message anymore, but he said, why did Brother Branham call women dog meat? I said, he didn't call women dog meat. I said, he called that kind of woman dog meat. Listen, without the new birth, we're dog meat. We're cannon fodder if we don't have the new birth. But it's just something you pick with. Everybody wants to pick on this and pick on that. Listen. Brother Branham always gave honor to a good, godly woman. Always gave honor to a good, godly woman. Always did. Never did he belittle a godly woman. But when they're turned into all those other things, like Brother Branham said, he's right. They can send more people to hell than ever beer joint in the country, walking down the street with no clothes on like they did at the prom. I'd hate to go to them proms now, I'm telling you. Even when we went to proms 50 years ago, June had a dress on that was up to here and had long sleeves. Not anymore. But that's what the world's come to because they don't have God. They're godless. They don't have godliness. They're godless. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, if you look at that, now that when Paul's talking about godliness right there, that godliness interpretation in the Greek is reverence toward God's goodness, not yours, toward God's goodness. It's worshiper of God, or worshiping God. You know why? The sisters, you know what you're doing right there? You're worshiping God when you're professing godliness. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a church sitting. You can be walking down Walmart and condemn the whole place. Because you're walking godly, and then that's going to tell the world that you're worshiping God. Because remember, you only believe what you obey. Think about that. You keep thinking about that. The only thing you care about is what you believe in. Right? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. Now watch. Having promise of the life that now is. If you live godly, all right, you're going to be okay on this side and on the other side. Right. Look at that. Having promise of the life that is now and the life which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, you need to accept what was just told you. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 says, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Wow. But doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Pretty bad characters. Supposing that gain is godliness. I'm successful, so I must be godly. I'm successful, so I must be godly. No, that don't mean one thing. From such withdraw thyself. Get away from that. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we're not going to carry nothing else out with us. Never seen a casket full of money. But that word, contentment, look what it means. Sufficiency. Watch this. A perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. That's contentment. Sufficiency of the necessities of life. A mind contented with its lot. I told him at work the other day, and just a little story about a government. They redid our routes and they re-evaluated our routes. When you work for the post office, you get evaluation time for every box you do, every package you deliver, all the scans you do. It's just a bunch of stuff added together, and that's your salary. Well, like mine was estimated at 5.5 hours a day, and which is part time. But I do get benefits. And I like it that way because I'm usually finished by about 12 o'clock. But I usually get it done in 3.5 to 4 hours. So there's an hour and a half there that I get paid that I'd be sitting at home taking a nap. Well, anyway, so, and I'm okay with that. I should be. But the other day they came in and they upset the apple cart. They took and reevaluated all that. Instead of giving us 2 minutes for a box, they give us 1.5 minutes. So it cut my salary $100 a week. down to about 4 hours evaluated time, and that's about what I got. But they were, and it is, one of the girls there, she makes about 80 grand a year, and she's only going to make 72. She's going to lose about $8,000 a year. But I told them, I said, you know, the Bible tells us, you know what John told us? What did John tell us? John the Baptist told those two soldiers, he said, be content with your wages. And I explained to him the other day, I said, look, I said, how can you live in a town of 300 people in Gillsville, drive 10 miles to work, have no traffic, and still make $72,000 a year? I said, don't complain. Be content with what you got. I can't stand people that argue about what the government or what your job does to you. If you live godly and you know how to handle that, because you know what? It'll eat your soul. It's going to eat some of them up. There's thousands of people in across the country that's getting ready to either quit. They're going to strike. I think they walked on Washington today. They you know, got their picket lines and all that stuff. And that's okay, because we don't want people to walk over us. Right. Well, there's a big difference. We don't want people to walk over us. But we want to be content and say, hey, for what I make and for what I do, I'm fine. Right. I'm good. I'm okay. Godliness with contentment is what? Gain. Gain. I'd rather gain that, not that out there, but that, what he's talking about, than to gain the whole world and lose my soul. They know what the scripture says. Now, that's not saying you don't make yourself better. Try to do better. Try to make more money. But if something like that happens, it'll eat you to death, and it'll make you make you have a horrible life. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. I'm not going to charge you for that one. That was a Dave Ramsey. John's like, you going to use that next time? Okay. Everybody enjoy Brother John talking to us about, really good. He said, well, it ain't got nothing to do with the word. It absolutely does. Every bit of it does. You know why we don't like it? Because we don't do it. Praise the Lord. Ain't that right, Virginia? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is what you get. Brother Ron Spencer was preaching away the other day, and he was talking about something, and he said, hey, don't get your panties in a wad. Yeah, right. And he stopped for about 2 seconds. He said, hey, that's the way we roll around here. Get over it. This, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own self. Boy, isn't that today? Selfies. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, we see that also. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know, June and I were doing something the other day, and we filled out a form, and it said, what was your gender at birth? Not what's your gender now, it's what was your gender at birth. You had to put male or female. One of the two. I just can't believe. Well, I can too. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Now, this is what we're going to get into, and then we'll stop right here. But denying the power. Having a form of godliness. Just doing just enough to get by. From such, turn away. Now, anointed ones at the end time. Listen to this. Otherwise, if he wanted to break it down so we would more or less understand it better, he would say, in the last days there shall come false anointed ones. Now, that seems almost impossible. See the term of anointed. But notice the very next words, false prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, plural. Now, anointed one is one with a message. All right? Stick with me here for just a second. We'll go eat some cake. Y'all be awake for that, I promise you. Face won't pop. And the only way the message can be brought out is by one that's anointed. And that would be a prophet anointed. There shall rise false anointed teachers. A prophet teaches what his message is. Anointed teachers, look, but anointed people with false teaching. anointed ones, Christ, plural, prophets, plural. And if there is such a thing as Christ, singular, then these would have to be anointed ones, that their prophecy of what they were teaching would be the difference, because they are anointed ones, anointed. You may say, how can this be? What were they? Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T-S, false prophets, anointed ones. Jesus said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now watch this. Now someone might say to me, do you believe that that anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they are false. There's your form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now listen close and see what he said. And they shall show signs and wonders, insomuch it would deceive the very elect, if it were possible. And they are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit. Only the Son of Man in the end time is going to distinguish those two spirits. Because when Jesus was standing in the upper room, there was 12 people there, right? One of them was the devil, or anointed by the devil. His name was Judas. Not one person knew, except the Son of Man. He knew who that was because he could discern the spirit that was in that person. Because listen, somebody said, Lord, who is it? He said, it's the one that sopped the bowl with me, right? The Bible says Judas reached over and sopped the bowl, and they still didn't see it. So they were deceived. We're going to be deceived if we don't have that kind of godliness. Because we're heading toward the headstone. We're heading toward that it's going to be a, Brother Brown said, a razor's edge. And they are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit. I know this sounds very foolish, but we're going to take time and explain it by the word that that's absolutely, thus saith the Lord, the truth. Let's continue reading. This is anointed ones at the end time. But remember, that Pentecostal church in the last days was Laodicea, and Christ was turned out, the kernel, the wheat itself. When he tried to manifest himself in the church, he was thrown out or taken out. It was still a church claimed to be anointed. Caiaphas stayed anointed even though he put Jesus on the cross. But watch. But here is the word, Christ himself, that's the anointed word which shall come for the rest of his body, the bride. The anointed of the same water that watered the wheat, as we talked about, also waters the tares, anointed ones. Only the elected are predestinated. Now that's predestinated. God knowing who would take it and who wouldn't. Will be able to detect the difference. Will be able to detect the difference between them. Now Ephesians 5:1 tells you so and about how it was. They are anointed ones. Everybody says, glory to God, we got freedom down here. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We speak in tongues and jump. We got freedom of the women. You try to put them under all these kinds of things. See, go ahead. There ain't nothing you can do. Say, well, we speak in tongues, we shout, we dance in the spirit, we preach the word. Absolutely. Not one thing to say against it. So do these people back here in the Bible. Jesus said it'll deceive the very elected if it were possible. The very elected. Now he's talking about having a form of godliness. Listen. It only lets the wheat be known to the elected which are part of it. Notice how beautiful this is brought here. Notice the anointed ones be able, the true elected predestinated, Ephesians 5 or 1:5 rather, will be ordained elected. They're the only ones that it will not deceive. Notice the anointed prophets will be false. And there among it will be true anointed. How are you going to tell it? By the word. How are you going to tell it? By the word. Like we have it in shadow. Do you see it? Carl Gates said, amen. Notice the anointed ones, only the word will separate them, not the signs. Oh, when we get up here to this godliness, Brother Wade, we just going to shout, speak in tongues. You can, I wish you would. But that doesn't mean that you're at that godliness. It means you can have a form of that godliness. They'll do the same signs, but the words, what separated them? Sure. They all prophesied. They all done this, that, and the other. Sure, just the same. Jesus said they'd do the same, but the word is what separated them, notice, not signs. Brother Bram said, "No, it's not." I want you to see, he clarified. He's talking about preaching this last Sunday, right here. This was the Sunday after that at the tabernacle. He said, "See, they are anointed. Their spirits are anointed in the second realm." Everybody with me? In the second realm, which is what? Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. First realm is either faith or doubt. It's not both. All right? You're either born again today or you're not. If you're born again, you're sealed in to the day of your redemption. Amen? If you're not born again today, you can be among that group of anointed ones to where your soul is as black as soot, and your spirit gets anointed by the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you speak in tongues, preach the gospel, see signs and wonders, do signs and wonders. But it doesn't get all the way down. That's why the new birth that Bob was talking about this morning, the new birth is the most important thing that you'll ever get, is to know that God's in your soul, not anointing your spirit and not making you feel good, not making you jump and shout. Today, Brother Ram talks right here, and we'll finish right here. Christ revealed in his own word. Today, so confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost, amen, and so forth. Satan can impersonate any kind of a gift that God has got, but he cannot bring that word by word. That's where he failed in the Garden of Eden. That's where he's always failed. It's where them, the tape on false anointed ones or anointed ones, they can be anointed with the Spirit, speak in tongues, dance, shout, preach the gospel, and still be a devil. Still be a devil. So what's the most important thing? Speaking in tongues, shouting? No. Know that you got the new birth. Know that you got the new birth. That you're sealed out, God sealed in. Satan sealed out, God sealed in, and sealed to the day of your redemption. Then, now, we are working on that next realm, that spirit realm. We're trying to drive those evil spirits out. Is everybody with me? That's what this statue of perfect man is. It's driving out the other demons. You think Satan wants you to prosper? He wants you to fail. So he's gonna fight for your soul. When he loses that, guess what he's going to fight for? He ain't leaving town. He ain't leaving town, folks. He just goes out in your spirit realm and starts in your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination, and starts working there and make you miserable. If you'll let him. All right, let's talk a bit about brotherly kindness, and then we'll stop right here. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Everybody understand there's two forms of godliness. Being godly and having a form of godliness, but deny the power of that godliness. All right? From such, turn away. So we need to, there's going to be a separating time. We're not going to have to do it. God will do it. Amen. And to knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. We're heading on up there. You know that means Philadelphia, which is brotherly love, love of the brethren. Look, love of brothers or sisters, brotherly love. In the New Testament, the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. Our, another part of that is love as brethren, loving brother or sister. In a broader sense, loving one like a brother, loving one's fellow countryman of an Israelite or a Christian, loving Christians. After you've done come here to here to here to here to here, now you're coming into the full stature now of a son of God. But you got to have this plus all this. And you can't even start unless you get this. I believe he was pointing it down at the bottom. Everybody with me? He was pointing at the bottom, at faith. Now remember the blackbird with the peacock feathers. Don't forget him. Don't try to add it till you're actually born again. Because it won't work. And you can't make it work. It'll come to this or this here. It'll crumble somewhere. But when you get down here, a genuine born again dove, then you don't add nothing. It adds to you, see? Comes on up, all right, coming into perfection. Now sixthly, let's add brotherly love or brotherly kindness. Now that's a good one here. 6, 7, all right, adding brotherly kindness. When we get to that, brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place on the matter. Now you say, my brother sinned against me, said Peter. Shall I forgive him? What did Jesus tell him? Not just 7 times a day, 70 times 7. Brotherly kindness. Now you see, if a brother's all out of tune, don't be impatient with him. See, no. Be kind to him. Go anyway. I'm going to read you some quotes where Brother Bram talks about he's going into an area and he's going to preach. Well, now he's a prophet, right? He's a church age messenger. Everybody's supposed to listen to him, right? Just fold the doors back and, you know, come on in, Brother Branham. I'll read you several quotes where I'll tell you about what true brotherly kindness is. Because you know what? He could be that way. He could have said, bless God, if you don't listen to me, you're out. Because you know what? I'm telling you now, if you don't listen to him, you're out. But he's not going to say that. He says, go ask your pastor. If you need healing, go ask your pastor if you can come to the meeting. He said, but if you got a post of duty, he said, you need to be in your church. He said, now, if y'all don't have a meeting set up, it'd be all right for y'all to come to our meeting. That's brotherly kindness. Somebody said not long ago, how can you believe these things the way they do and still go to the assemblies of God in oneness? Then put, see, brotherly kindness. Come on, musicians. We'll sing a song or two and then we'll go downstairs. Hoping someday, look, see, patience with him. See, temperance, enduring with him. Knowledge to understand what he believes. And I appreciate that. We, Brother Dale, all the different ones, we try to understand. We listen to what people say and we try to understand what they're getting at, what they're getting to. To understand what he believes, remember, it's in his heart. That's what it is. Virtue in yourself to let it go out with kindness, meekness to him. Having faith that someday God will bring him in. Praise the Lord. Brotherly kindness, the seventh thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Brother Ram taps on the chalkboard. See, the seventh thing. Now look, he said, now we're coming. Let's stand to our feet. Putting everything together, brotherly kindness, you'd think, well, man, I'm born again. I love everybody and everybody loves me. Wrong. Wrong. Because we'll talk about it a little bit later. We'll head and look at that old nature. Because that old nature, you put two kids in a room with one toy. Most of y'all are laughing. You know what that's going to be. Chaos. Somebody going to get a tail whipping. Because somebody says, that's mine, give it to me. That's mine, give it to me. No, it's mine, give it to me. No, it's mine, give it to me. Right? That's our nature. Our nature is not to be kind to people. Each other. Why do you see all this road rage? Why do you see all these people killing? That boy that killed all them people up here in Tennessee. He had a gripe with those six people. Or five people, they were how many he killed. He had a gripe with them. So he just went and killed them. Wow. That didn't come from God. But if he killed your daddy, would you pray for his soul? Or would you get mad at him? Oh, it's different when you bring it home. Yeah, if that man killed your daddy because somebody's daddy died, it was three men and a couple women in there that got killed. Could you say, I forgive him? And mean it. And mean it. No, we still have that same nature we got to fight with. That if you do this to me, I'm going to do that to you. All right? So let's work on that. That's why brotherly kindness is really rough. It's tough to be real, to have brotherly kindness. But we're going to have it because God required us to have it. So we're going to have it. We're going to have it right. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Never been a day like this day to me. There has never. I see there has never been a light that shines in the darkest church age. There is a light that's never been before. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for his wife, Lord, I pray that you just, as this cloth is placed on her, that stomach problem or whatever it is will go away, Lord. And that you'll give her a blessing and know that you did it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
There been a day like this day, I see there has never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glory.
worship a minute.
Oh, there has never been a day like this day to me. There has never been a day like this day I see. There has never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day.
Never been a day
live the way.
Is that your desire today? Let that be our dedication to Him.
I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever love the Lord.
Let's sing it to Him again. Dedicate yourself.
Live all the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love until there's just no more love.
You know, you can see that Jesus hanging on the cross, He fulfilled every bit of that. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave it all. He didn't hold nothing back. That's why that sign's on up above the door as you come in says, "Today I give my all to Jesus Christ." Brother Darrell Ward said that was over the Tennessee football thing. And you know, our old football coach told us one time, he said, if you give everything you've got on that field, he said, I don't care if we get beat, you know, 50 to nothing. You just give everything you got. And do we do that with God? Or do we reserve a piece and say, well, I think I'll hold back a little bit. When we come to church service, we should give it all to God. Everything we got, every effort we got, like I said before, to stay awake, every effort we got to be here on time, every effort. There's no way you will fail if you'll do the things God asks you to do. I said if you'll do the things God asks you to do, you'll never fail. It's just when we start not doing those things is when we fail. And we ought to know one thing's for sure. You're not in the will of God when you're not in the will of God. Right? You're just not. You're not in the will of God when you don't do what He says. But we're trying. We're heading that way. We're heading in that direction. Not leaving anybody behind. Getting all we can get. Taking all we can take with us. Pulling every piece. Scratching, clawing. Trying our best. Everybody, we all should do that. Give our effort. Give our all. And love till there's just no more love.
I could never, ever outlove.
Sing it as you're dismissed. Go downstairs and have some cake and ice cream.
I want to live.